I'm going to get into this word. I believe I'm going to try to finish this off today, but we've been talking about righteous judgment. And based on the fact that this is one of the things that Jesus taught his disciples as he was making disciples out of them. By the way, the word disciple simply means a student, a learner. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples, and then he told them to teach others the things that he taught them. And so one of those things was judge not. But what he was really talking about when he told them judge not was really to use righteous judgment. We have to be very careful that we don't just pick pieces out of the word because this is what we want it to say. But the word of God will confirm itself, and it's the whole counsel of the word. And so what you find as you're reading the scripture, as you're getting to know the scripture, is that the Bible's pretty good at interpreting itself. And there are things that may not make sense to you that as you continue to read and dig into his word, God will bring more revelation to certain things. And you'll go, oh, that's what that was about. And many people honestly, in the American church are just maybe about that deep in their spiritual walk, in their Christian walk. It's if they're that deep, and there's a few little things they pick out. One of the things that Pastor Cindy and I many, many years ago stopped doing is, I don't know if y'all remember the little promise, like pick a promise for the day, a scripture a day will keep the devil away kind of thing. How many of you know that's not really the proper use of the word of God? Okay. He don't want you to just pick something out of its context and say, well, I got my Bible for today. No, it's his word. It's his love letter to us. It's his instruction manual to us. And he wants us to crave it. And he wants us to consume it because it literally brings life to us in a way that nothing else can. And so when Jesus said, judge not, well, a lot of people, that's the only thing they know about the Bible. Well, doesn't the Bible say not to judge? Doesn't Jesus say not to judge? Well, he did, but you got to see it through the whole counsel of the word. And really what he was talking about is righteous judgment, judge rightly. And so the scripture we started with, just a quick review, Luke chapter 6, verse 37 through 42. We'll read verse 37 here. It says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And so it's a very important thing, the way we handle judgment. Now we're all going to, listen, we have to make judgments constantly about all kinds of things constantly. But there are times when Christians should not judge. We went through those. When are we not to judge? Number one, Christians are not to judge others when they're sinning, doing the same thing the other person's doing, right? So certainly we should not do that. And then also, Christians are not to judge other Christians regarding disputable matters. If it's not, scripture and it's clear in the scripture, then a judgment should not be made. There are some things that they're not extremely clear, and you have to really seek the heart of God for yourself to find out what God wants in these matters. And so we have to be careful. And the Apostle Paul talked about, people, some eat vegetables and some only eat meat. And, and apparently there was something going on in the church where the vegetarians were judging the meat eaters and the meat eaters were judging the vegetarians and so on and so forth. And so it's a real simple thing. But, there division can come from the dumbest things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I remember hearing growing up. Now, we've never had that kind of an issue here because we operate a little different. But I can remember people for years talking about how churches were split because they didn't agree with the color carpet or the color paint on the walls or, just really goofy stuff. And it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And so we're not to judge other Christians regarding disputable matters. We can have an opinion, but we need to be careful before we start stating that opinion that we know it's God's opinion. Okay, can I get a bigger amen? Now, we all got opinions, right? And then thirdly, we said Christians are not to judge people's motives. We don't know the motives of a person. On a natural level, we don't know that. Now, on a supernatural level, God can show us the motives of a person. Sometimes he does that for our protection, so on and so forth. So I believe that God can show us the motives of a person, but it's not by a natural judgment, by what we see on the outside, so on and so forth. So we have to be very careful about assigning motives to people when we don't really know their motives. And listen, by the way, Sometimes when we assign a motive to a person, it's based on the fact that we got a bad motive. And if I were in that situation, that's what I'd be doing or thinking, right? So again, be careful. You cast that judgment, that thing's coming back at you. It's like a boomerang, right? So then number four, Christians are not to judge unbelievers at all. It's not our job to judge unbelievers. Now, do we judge whether or not something is wrong or something is sinful? Absolutely, based on what God's word has said. So we don't judge people in the sense of saying, oh, that person's useless, they'll never change, so on and so forth. We can't do that. And we don't judge unbelievers at all. Why is that? Well, unbelievers are already under God's judgment. Our job is to get the unbelievers out of the judgment, not to reinforce judgment. Okay? So we talked about that here over the last couple of weeks. But then last week, we wrapped it up and we said, you know, if God doesn't want us speaking judgment over someone and we don't have a word from the Holy Spirit, then the best thing we can do is those famous two words, shut up, right? So when are Christians to judge? Because there are times when we should judge. Number one, Christians are to use the mind of Christ to make judgments about all things. So we should always be making some kind of judgment, but it should be with the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, the spiritual man, everybody say the spiritual man. Not the natural man, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of Christ or the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, none of us can instruct him, but notice what he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay? So the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but the spiritual man is the one submitted to Christ. In other words, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because Christ can't make a bad judgment. So if I'm allowing him to show me what he thinks about it, then I'm going to make the right judgment. Okay? Because we have the mind of Christ. So the spiritual man, that is the man or the woman or the child or the person filled with the Holy Spirit through their relationship with God, walks through life constantly seeking the mind of Christ for what is right and wrong. And if you're not seeking the mind of Christ for what is right and wrong, you're going to make some really dumb decisions. Now, is there anybody in this room that's ever made a really dumb decision? Okay. Judgment is nothing more than a decision made based on the evidence rendered, but sometimes we can see the evidence wrongly. I mean, do you know that there are people in prison today who are spending life in prison or years in prison who are there who really are innocent? I'd say probably most of them are not, but there are people who have been convicted of crimes that they did not commit. I believe that that really happens. I know it happens because from time to time, now with the modern like DNA and things that they have now, there are people from time to time after they've been in prison for 20 years, they go, oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't you, right? We know that. We've heard those stories. So we know that that happens. So we can make a bad judgment even when it seems like the evidence is telling us something on a natural level and it's really not happening. It's really not true. So, but in the spirit, God, you can't pull anything over God's eyes. He knows it all. And so if we want to know, we have to seek his knowledge. And so we make a good judgment, make good decisions based on seeking his wisdom, his knowledge. And so we know what is right and wrong because the Holy Spirit guides the consciences of those who are truly spiritual. Can I tell you, the conscience without Christ is not even functioning right. I know people who really think they're doing right when they're doing straight up evil. They think they're doing good, right? The Jewish people thought they were doing good to kill Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh. They thought they were doing something good. And so the conscience cannot guide us. That thing is broken. It's messed up unless the Holy Spirit comes to live inside and fixes that thing. And then he takes the conscience over and then that thing begins to work right. And so secondly, Christians are to judge themselves. So all things we are to judge through the mind of Christ. Make every decision we make, every judgment we make through the mind of Christ. But secondly, we are to judge ourselves. Now, the problem with most people, when people look at Christians, they say, you're so judgmental. What they really mean is, you really ought to judge yourself before you judge me, right? So Christians are to judge themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, Paul calls on us to judge ourselves. And I do believe that God wants us to help other people, but it's hard to help other people if we're not even getting it right ourselves, right? So it doesn't work to say, do as I say and not as I do. That doesn't work. How many of you, maybe when you were a kid, how many of you ever heard your family or an adult or an authority say that? I'm just kind of curious. Do as I say, not as I do, right? That's what the Pharisees were doing to people. Jesus rebuked them for that, called them hypocrites and snakes and all kinds of stuff for that. So Paul calls on us to examine ourselves, to examine the things that we do and say and think in the light of God's word and in the light of the Holy Spirit's guidance. So this is what I believe Jesus was getting at when he said, get the plank out of your own eye before you go around trying to pull the sliver or the splinter out of another person's eye. He wants us to be able to help them. He wants us to be able to get that splinter out of their eye, but I can't do it with the board in mind. So, you know, legal words are actually used in that verse. For instance, he says, judge ourselves. The Greek word for that, for judge in that manner, that particular use, is diakrino. And it means to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from, to oppose, to discriminate against, or to hesitate, or to trust. Now, when he says judge ourselves, what he's really saying is don't trust yourself. Don't lean to your own understanding. When he's saying judge ourselves, it doesn't mean I'm saying, man, I'm really a terrible person. You know, what a horrible, terrible person I am. That's not what he's talking about. What he's really talking about is separate thoroughly, withdraw from, oppose, discriminate against, or hesitate to trust this thing right here in its natural state and the judgments that I would make in a natural state. In other words, seek the judgment of God, not your own natural judgment. And so, in other words, again, don't lean to your own understanding. Then there's this other word, judge or judgment, that's used here, and it's the word krino. We kind of talked about this last week, but it means to distinguish, to decide, to mentally or judicially by implication, to try, to condemn, to punishment. And it's not necessarily eternal. Now, it can be used for eternal punishment, but it's not just eternal punishment. It's also for, you know, living a life of misery on this earth because we're so stinking stubborn that we will not do it God's way. And we keep ourselves in a torturous state as a prisoner of sin and all kinds of stuff, all right? And so, and God is, you know, he's at a, and he encourages us to do this too, but what God does is he says, you know, I'm doing everything I can to woo you out of that. I'm doing everything I can to bring deliverance to you. Brother Mike said it a little earlier, but you can hang on to that junk if you want to. God's not going to force it. I remember when I was praying, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Boy, I really wanted to be able to pray in tongues and all, but I had this idea that God was going to force it on me. And so, I said, well, if it's going to be real, it's going to be real. And I'd sit there and they'd lay hands on me and pray for me and the Holy Spirit would come all over me. I could hardly stand and I'd stand there going, because God was going to make it happen if it was going to happen. He was going to have to move my mouth and make them words come out. And we do the same thing many times with other things too. God is not going to force you to do anything. And so sometimes he will let you wallow around in the judgment and the misery until you get enough of it. Aren't you glad you got enough of it finally? So then there's the word discipline here. It's the word phaiduo, and it means to train up a child. And then finally, there's the word condemned that's used, and it's katakrio, and it's the strongest word for judgment. It means condemned or damned with no hope of forgiveness. Man, that's a place you never want to get. So again, in reading that scripture with the understanding of those words, but if we judged ourselves, in other words, if we got to a place where we didn't trust our own judgment and we lean to not on our own understanding, but if we will seek His wisdom, then we would not come under judgment. And when we are judged by the Lord, and this word, the Kreno judge, when we are allowed to suffer in our misery because of our decisions, we are being disciplined by the Lord. Why? Because He loves us as His own child, so that we will not be condemned with the world, damned with no hope with the world. And that's the problem. That's the reason we want to reach those who are in the world, because they are already there. The judgment has already been placed upon them. That's why we have to show them that there is a way out of this. And so the second thing is, we said that we are to judge ourselves. So we are allowed to judge, but it should always be with the mind of Christ, and we should always judge ourselves. And then number three, the church is to judge unrepentant sin among those who claim to be Christians. Can I tell you, now this doesn't get practiced very often. Can I tell you that churches are filled with people who have no repentance and have no intention to repent? They're only doing a religious thing because it somewhat eases their conscience. But they're still going to keep living in the same sin. They're still going to be shacked up, jacked up, lacked up. They're still going to live every way that they ever lived before. The only difference is now they go to church to ease their conscience a little bit. And they might even say a little prayer. And might even put a little money in the offering. But they ain't letting God take control, because they're going to remain firmly in control. And sometimes people indulge in sin in an unrepentant way. Now understand, I'm not talking about struggling with something. I'm not talking about seeking God's help in His heart to change something in your life as you're being sanctified, as He's cleaning us up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who have said it in their heart that I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what anybody thinks. And, you know, God loves me. He knows my heart. I always tell people, yeah, that's the problem. He really does know your heart. He really does. So we have an example in the scripture, and so I'll use this as an example. So the church is to judge unrepentant sin among those who claim to be Christians. Now, can I tell you that this don't work real good with the church growth circles? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship this man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I'm with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Now, somebody might hear that and they think, man, that's really kind of cold-hearted. Man, that sounds kind of mean. But do you understand? Mean is when you just ignore it like it's okay and leave them in their sin so they can die and split hell wide open. That's mean. But the point of this is, and when he said hand them over to Satan, really what he's really talking about here is let them experience the consequences. They need to know that there are real consequences for their action so that maybe they might hit rock bottom after they're tormented long enough to where they will finally repent and be saved. Because that's really the heart behind it. Preachers don't want to talk about sin today. I had a man tell me one time, they said, you know, you don't need to talk about sin. People already know they're sinners. No, they don't. They have no idea. They think they're good because they can always find somebody worse than them to compare themselves to and say, I'm better than them. And they love to find some preacher who did something stupid because they can really justify themselves then. But we have clear instruction from the Lord that there should be righteous judgment within the house of God. In fact, the scripture even talks about, and we're not going to get all into that, but the scripture even talks about shunning people who cause division among you, who have their own evil, selfish agenda, who are not about the kingdom, but they're all about themselves. And we're warned in the scripture about dealing with people who have a predatorial type mentality. They're called wolves. They're not sheep. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, right? And so, again, this is not a subject that gets talked about a whole lot, but it's part of making a righteous judgment. I don't want people to be paranoid, but I do want people to have the discerning of spirits operating in their life, just because you're sitting next to somebody in church don't mean they're okay, right? And it doesn't mean that they're mentally fit. Understand? You know, they say that, heard this from Pastor Mike Melee, they say that at least every one in three people have mental health issues. Now, I want you to look around at the people. Look around, everybody. If they look okay, that means the crazy one is you. That's... So Paul gives us this example of someone who's claiming to be a Christian, but who is engaging in immoral sexual activity. Some people say, oh, that's no big deal. What a person does in their own privacy is up to them. Obviously not. It's wrong. And here's the point. There really is a right and wrong. And people, even many people in the church, have no clue what right and wrong is anymore. So the Bible gives us clear guidance about how we're to live our lives. We've taught on it. We've talked about it. The Ten Commandments is God's code of righteousness. It is His code of honor, we might say, for God's kids. It is His code of morals that we live by. And if everybody were to do it God's way, it would be a wonderful world. And so we know we can't do that. That's why we needed Christ, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can do it. If we'll lean on Him, let Him guide us and lead us, I'm telling you, we can live and look and sound and act just like Jesus. So, again, there's no further debate about those things. The Ten Commandments gives us clear guidance about the things that God hates because the way it hurts humanity. And sometimes it may not seem like it hurts, but it hurts. Whatever I do, whatever I say at any point in time affects everybody around me, whether they know it or not and whether I know it or not. So when people claim to be Christians and yet they go against the clear law of God, then discipline is necessary to bring them back into the fold. But there is no discipline in the Church of America. People do whatever they want. And in America, it's real easy. If you tell me something I don't like, well, there's plenty of churches around I can go to. In fact, they got some with better music, and I like the way the preacher preaches better, and so on and so forth. They got a nicer facility. They do all these things to please me, and I can always go find one. So I don't have to take nothing from anybody. I do what I want when I want. So at a time like that, it's not only our right to judge the behavior of fellow Christians, but it's our responsibility to do so. But here's the key. It must always be motivated by love. Always. And it should always be with restoration, not punishment, as the end goal. Listen, God gave us the penalty of the law, not because He hated us, but because He wanted us to come to Himself, realizing that we don't want the penalty of that law. That's right, amen. So we run to Him, a safe shelter. And so, again, God did everything He did motivated by love. And at those times, the focus must be on clearly stated words from God and the actions that person has done which go against God's word, God's command. And again, I'm talking about judgment within the body of Christ. And the scripture is very clear in James. I don't have the scripture up there, but he says, if you turn a brother, and we could add a sister, from the error of His way. That means that God intends for us to look out for each other, to help each other, to get the log out of our eyes so we can help them get the speck out of their eye. He wants us to help each other turn from that which is not pleasing to God so that we can be not just saved, but so that we can live a life of victory. So do this. You may not mean it, but go ahead and do it anyway. We'll make a, you know, it's like a positive confession here. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, say, my business is your business. And tell them, and your business is my business. And tell them this, and tell them, and the Holy Spirit's going to help me get your number. Now, in case there's any guys and girls, I'm not talking about phone numbers here, okay? We're not... So, again, this is the way that God wants it to happen. If all goes well, when there is righteous judgment within the church, that person will receive that rebuke with humility and will repent and will be restored. That's what God really wants. Amen. But can I tell you, if the church is not willing to do that, that means that people fall through the cracks and people end up left with no hope. And so always remember who the judge is. Always remember that we can never pronounce judgment that God did not say. And the only judgment we're allowed to express is rightly based on what has already been written down in his legal document called the Bible. And it must always be expressed with the right motive, which is the love of God. And I want to do this. We're going to take a few moments to do this. But if there's anybody in your own heart, see, I've had to examine my own heart with this. If there's anybody in your own heart that you've made a judgment toward, it may be a judgment that's based on, man, that's just so wrong what they're doing. And you just, you know, you're upset, you're mad at them. And sometimes I get mad at people for doing stuff to themselves. It's like, why would you do that to yourself? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's the danger. If you've written them off in your heart, if you don't pray for them any longer, if you give them no hope whatsoever, and you've written them off in your heart, then you're in danger, because now you've made the kind of judgment that no human is allowed to make. And if the Lord reveals somebody in your heart, and I believe this is just what the Lord wants us to end this with, if there's somebody in your heart you've made that judgment toward, and there's a good possibility it's somebody that's done you junkyard dog dirty wrong, I mean, just treating you in a way that they should have never treated you, you need to ask the Lord to give you his heart for that person. And so, and after you leave here, allow the Lord to continue to reveal those things to you. We want to get out of wrong judgment and get into righteous judgment, because we also want to experience righteous judgment. So Father, we lift people up to you today. If there's anyone here today struggling with that, if there's anyone here today that has made a judgment in their heart towards someone that they should not have, I pray, Father, free them from that right now. I pray, Father God, that you would pour your heart into them for that person that Jesus shed all of his blood for. Oh God, that they never forget about them, that they never stop praying for them, that they never stop looking for that person's salvation and freedom and deliverance. And Father, I pray you help us to judge rightly. Lord, I pray that you would help us to always look for a person's restoration. May it always be for their good that we make any kind of judgment. May it always be based on what the Holy Spirit and the Word has said. Lord, we don't want to be guilty of doing exactly what Jesus said not to do. But Father, we also want to do what you've told us to do and use judgment in the correct manner. Lord, we have people in our families. We have people that have even been a part of this church, Lord, who've made terrible decisions. And some of us have had to take a hard stand with them. But Father, may we never forget that your desire is to bring restoration to them. And going forward, Father, may we do it your way so that you're always honored and always glorified. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.